This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios is singer-songwriter Jessica Lee Mayfield. Her latest release under her own name is Make My Head Sing. That one came out in spring of 2014. The other new record is a duo record with Seth Avett singing the songs of Elliott Smith.
Right.
Hey. Jessica Lee Mayfield, welcome to JPR.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Your original debut, which was an EP.
Yeah.
You only made like 100 copies of this thing, but one of them landed in the hands of Dan Auerbach.
Right. Well, he's from, I'm from Kent, Ohio, and he's from Akron. And it was around the time I was like, you know, 15, going on 16. And I just kind of started hearing about him. And I had a boyfriend at the time who liked his music. And that was kind of just like, okay, I've heard the name of that band, you know. And then I got this MySpace message from this guy, and he was like, hey, my name's Dan. I play in a band called the Black Keys. I was like, isn't that that band everybody's talking about? And I was like, okay, you know. And I ended up messaging him back, and we met up several days a week recording some of his songs that ended up on a solo effort of his and some, you know, solo songs of mine. And we kind of weren't really sure what we were doing with it. We were just recording because it worked. And then eventually it turned into the songs that I wrote. It turned into With Blasphemy, So Heartfelt.
And these were songs 15 years old, 16 years old. The record came out when you were what?
18.
18.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a lot of it was, there was not, we did work on it some. It was kind of like almost finished. Like we almost had a record worth of material. And then one day kind of Dan had called me and he was like, well, I was thinking with this, all these songs of yours that we have that, you know, we should make it into an album. And so, you know, it's been over the course of a few years of just kind of like meeting up and recording some stuff. And then we got back together and I recorded a few more songs. So some of the songs on that album are, I'm 18, you know, so this is like the teenage album.
Ripe old age of 18.
Yeah, and actually the last song to go on was Bible Days. And that's the song that has the lyric With Blasphemy, So Heartfelt. So until I wrote that song, I didn't have a title for the record. And then that was the last one to go on. And I was like, okay, that's the title.
So this thing comes out in 2008.
Yeah.
It is immediately generating really good buzz, and you're off and running. You're touring like mad. You are crisscrossing the country. How long did that go on?
Well, it's funny. Me and my husband were just talking about that yesterday, how kind of from With Blasphemy on up until like 2012, I toured extremely consistently and never really had much of a break. I'd be home for a couple days, if not a week, and it was a bit of a few whirlwind years, and then I took a little downtime, but not much, you know, in 2012, in 2013, and then came out with Make My Head Sing in 2014. So there were still times where I was touring and recording, but it was less, meaning not pretty much the whole year.
Yeah. The new record is Make My Heart Sing. That one came out in 2014. My guest today in the JPR studios, Jessica Lee Mayfield. There is a different sound on this new record, but you've brought in a couple of acoustic guitars, but an entire floor of pedals and things. So what are you going to do for us today to start off?
Well, I think I'll play a song off of Make My Head Sing, and the song is called Pure Stuff, and it's an acoustic version that I've worked up with this acoustic baritone guitar that Taylor Guitars loaned to me, and I tune it from A to A, kind of like on the album. So it's a real acoustic version of what's on the record for sure. Friends.
speak at all. What could you have to talk about? You're just a little mouse on the couch.
That is Jessica Lee Mayfield live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from her latest release called Make My Head Sing. That went out on ATO Records. This would probably be an opportune time to mention that you are a huge fan of 90s era grunge.
Yeah. Oh.
As if you couldn't hear in the way that you have modified an acoustic Taylor guitar on that tune, right? Are you still immersed in that music, that era?
I mean, honestly, it's kind of... And in a way, sometimes embarrassing because I don't keep up with the times very much. And it's rare, you know, I will find newer artists that I really like or someone will come to me. But it's like I kind of got stuck in a time period and I feel like an old woman, you know, and I look at younger kids and I'm just like, oh, well, the music in my day, you know, and the music in my day is Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, you know, Nirvana and all these and music videos. You know, I grew up on music videos. Music video junkie, and they don't, those, you know, it's hard to find those just playing all of the time anymore. You know, I don't have cable, so, but I don't know. But
I was growing up in the Seattle area and transitioning from high school to college when grunge hit. So the Mother Love Bones and, you know, Alice in Chains and Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all of those guys are definitely in my wheelhouse from adolescence, or at least.
And
you know.
I was on the tail end of when things changed.
But
you know?
you were like three or four at the time, right?
I would have been like in the early. I was born in '89, so I mean,
You were tiny.
I was on the. You know, I kind of got to watch where things were as a child and kind of watch them change. And I mean, when I first fell in love with, you know, my whole family, they were really against any kind of rock music or anything heavier. It scared them. When I was eight, I used to wake up in the middle of the night and I'd sneak in the living room and I'd turn on the TV real quiet. And this was during the times that we weren't homeless. And but when we did have TV for a little bit, a few years, I remember, you know, I'd turn around real quiet and I saw this Metallica video and I was like, oh, that's amazing. That it's just, you know, and then my parents were so afraid that I was listening to Metallica as an eight-year-old little girl that they tried everything they could to, like, get me to, they tried to replace all, they're like, here's a Patsy Cline CD, here's this, here's that. And it's like, well, I like this too, though. So it kind of just, it stuck from there. And I think they're less afraid of it now, but it definitely hung around.
Well, you've now got three full-length records out.
Right.
And I mentioned just before the tune that you played that the sound on the new record is quite a bit different. It sounds like this might finally be the sound of you.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Do you feel that way? You've talked a little bit about how you feel like you were misportraying yourself for a couple of years. And the debut did so well that you were then kind of caught up in the touring of it and the support of it. But was it the voice that you have now?
I mean, no, because at first, I mean, too, I didn't really know much of who I was. I think that the hardest part was being so young and being, you know, a teenager and not having that debut album come out, not really knowing who I was, but everybody wanting me to go out and represent who I was. And that was the hardest part of like, well, this is just me experimenting. You know, it's all learning. With Blasphemy was all learning and experimenting, and Tell Me was learning and experimenting. And you know, I was in the studio with other people on their time constraints. So with the new record, it's kind of like it was just me, my ideas, my time, you know, my clock. And so I had the time to get my ideas out, you know, in the way I wanted to, and you know, the realm of things that inspired me.
So you have transitioned away from, I don't know that this is a fair description of your first two records, but they're often talked about as being sort of twangy alt country or country rock. I don't know that I hear that much country in them, but
I think it's just the way that I sing, and and I was born in Ohio and I grew up in Tennessee, and you know, I grew up singing in my family's bluegrass band, and I love, you know, at the same time that I loved, you know, the same time I was listening to all that grunge and all, you know, and stuff like and even songwriters like Elliott Smith and things like that, I was listening to Johnny Cash and Hank Williams and Ernest Tubb, and just those were the things that, like, so the combination of the two, I think, kind of confused people as far as my vocal styles. But it's, you know, to me, it's just music.
Yeah.
I have a hard time putting a name on it, too. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things that I want to touch on. One is the music of Elliott Smith, and you also touched on performing in your family's bluegrass band, which is quite a departure from the sound we just heard. Let's talk a little bit more about that. But first, why don't you play something else? What's next?
I'll play a song called Standing in the Sun.
When you go, it makes me sad.
Standing in the Sun, it's Jessica Lee Mayfield live today on Jefferson Public Radio, a song from her latest release called Make My Head Sing, though technically there is a newer record, one that you did with Seth Avett,
right,
singing the songs of Elliott Smith, speaking of that era of early 90s songwriters. What was it that turned you on to his songwriting?
Well, I was 15 and I had a loser boyfriend in his late 20s, which I... was usually known for having around that time, some guy to go buy me beer and drive me around or whatever. And one morning he rode his bicycle over, because I think he had like a DUI or something ridiculous. And he rode his bike over. He had like a bottle of rum.
This is a great story already.
He had a bottle of rum. He rode his bike over to my parents' house. He had a bottle of rum and Elliott Smith's self-titled CD, you know, and he was like, okay, I'm going to make this teenager like me and think I'm cool, you know, and I did, you know, and I thought I definitely, actually how that had started was he had played me a couple songs acoustically, this boyfriend, and one of the songs was an Elliott Smith song. And I was like, whoa, that's a great song, you know, did you write it? And then he was like, no. And I was like, of course, you know, I just fell in love with that record so much. And at that time in my life, you know, I've had a sort of a rough life and a hard childhood, and I think that I was rebelling at that time, and I needed outside things to connect to that were my own, you know. And I think Elliott Smith was one of the things, and still, just my relationship to his music is you know, he's the artist that I can always listen to. I'm never sick of.
And you ended up connecting with Seth Avett to make this record.
Yeah, I've known Seth for like a little over 10 years probably at this point, and I met them. They played in Kent, Ohio, and I opened for them as a teenager. And you know, me and Seth always kind of talked about, one of mine and Seth's friendship points was talking about Elliott Smith and his music. And it just kind of one day happened to where he sat down in front of a piano and he started playing Twilight, and I started singing it. And then from there we just kind of kept sending each other voice memos and deciding to work on this, you know, slowly, and then it eventually all came together. But it was, for a while, it was just the fun of, you know, covering his music and sending it to each other.
It took a while, right, for this record to be birthed?
It did. I mean, I think it just was slowly kind of, what songs do we want to do? You know, it was done, it was kind of piecemealed in some ways, like some of it was done at his house as his home studio, and some of it was done at my home in Ohio at the time, and then some of it was done in Asheville, North Carolina, at a studio there. So
you've got your record out, Make My Head Sing,
yeah,
which is this somewhat louder, heavier production style. And now you've got this lighter, mellower, softer side at the same time. Are those two sides of you, or did Seth's influence take you in a softer direction for the Elliott's?
Well, those are definitely two sides of me. And I think Seth's personality is really clear on that record as well. And he was the one in the driver's seat and the one that really corralled the project to happening. And so you definitely see, you know, a lot of things from both of us stylistically on there. Like it just really, it does feel like, you know, just us singing Elliott Smith, which is what it is. It's just the natural two friends singing, you know, songs by one of their favorite artists.
Yeah. They're both very cool records.
Oh, thank
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations. I've got to ask you about this bluegrass band.
Okay.
You mentioned it in passing. So when this first record came out with Blasphemy,
yeah,
you were 18.
Yeah.
But you were already like a seasoned veteran at that point
I've been touring for 18 right? years, actually, now.
That's
as of
incredible.
Now. So I started touring when I was 8 years old.
What were you playing, or were you the singer?
Well, we sang a lot of gospel quartets until I started playing guitar. I started playing guitar when I was 11. And then it was my dad on guitar and my brother on bass and my mom on mandolin. And then I joined in singing so we could have four-part harmonies. And I love singing harmonies. And then I started playing rhythm guitars, you know, so my dad could take more guitar solos and things. And he was like, "Oh, we need another guitar player." And they kept telling me I had really good rhythm. So I went for it. And that was, you know, I really wanted to play music. It's kind of embarrassing to do it with your family at that age. But now I'm not so embarrassed about it. But back then it was. But we lived on a tour bus. That was a 50s tour bus that used to be owned by Bill Monroe.
Really?
And he called it the Bluegrass Breakdown, and my parents bought it off of some old lady for like $3,000. That it was just like living in her backyard, and we drove it down to Nashville, and we lived for quite some time. We lived in various different parking lots, and were semi-homeless, and we made money by busking and playing for tips, and one of my biggest jobs was carrying jugs of water into truck stops and filling them up and bringing them back to the bus so the whole family could have water. It was, you know, so wow. It was a lot of things like that, just all of us kind of working together to support the family musically.
Do the rest of them still play?
Yeah, my parents still play. They tour as the Bluegrass Sweethearts, and it's really great. They didn't for a while, and then they got back into it, and it's the thing they should be doing. They're both such great pickers. They really are. My dad is like a Tony Rice style guitar player, just like real clean and nice, and yeah, real inspiration for sure.
Do you still have any appreciation and affinity for that kind of music?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm more into the 70s bluegrass that my parents were in, and Newgrass and things like that, and, you know, and Hot Rise and Newgrass Revival and stuff like that. And I do love Tony Rice. I really, he's got some, you know, really great albums.
Before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about gear.
Yeah.
Because you've brought in, as we've heard, a couple of guitars. Neither of them sound particularly acoustic after you're done with them. But you are a bit of a gear hound, as
yeah.
I understand.
But I like old stuff.
Old gear.
I tour around with a bunch of antiques.
It looks like stuff that you've pulled from under the hood of that old tour bus a little bit.
Well, I've got the original Boss Course Ensemble, which it's been Frankensteined all to crap. So if you open it up, you can see where it's just been barely put back together, and these pedals for radio people, these are real. I got some old school analog pedals that are the size of my head, and I brought this the SAB Very Drive and the Boss Course Ensemble are I got those because I'm such a huge Stone Temple Pilots fan, and I'm such a huge Dean DeLeo fan, and he has those two pedals, and and they sound so good together.
I've read that for you, a lot of times lyrics come first, but are you ever just inspired by a sound that you find in one of these pedals to then start crafting a song?
The whole last solo record that I did, that it was inspired by, around that time I had started speaking more through the guitar than I had with my voice. And so I definitely wrote a lot of the songs on guitar first, kind of playing the soundtrack to my mood and then putting the lyrical feelings over it. So there was a lot of, like, I view just the music, even without lyrics, as just the soundtrack to how I felt at that time.
Well, it's been great to have you here.
Oh, this has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Jessica Lee Mayfield is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. Her newest release is Make My Head Sing. That one out in spring of 2014. Information on her and her music at jessicaleemayfield.com. There's also the duo record that came out in 2015 with Seth Avett covering the music of Elliott Smith. You've got one more plan for us, yeah?
Yeah, I'll play a song called Do I Have the Time? Do I have the time to do the thing?
see what you need in me, then let me know. And if you don't see what you need in me, then let me know. Let me know so I can let this chair beneath me go. Do I have the time to do the things I want to do a new way? Do I have the time to do the things I want to do a new way?
That is Jessica Lee Mayfield live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Her newest record is called Make My Head Sing. That one came out in 2014 on ATO Records. Jessica, thanks again for coming by. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. Thank you so much.